Begin with a reading from the prophet Ezekiel. He brought me back to the entrance of the temple where a stream came out from under the temple threshold and flowed eastward, since the temple faced east. The water flowed from under the right side of the temple south of the altar. He took me out by the north gate and led me right round outside as far as the outer east gate, where the water flowed out on the right-hand side. The man went to the east holding his measuring line and measured off 1,000 cubits. He then made me wade across the stream. The water reached my ankles. He measured off 1,000 and made me wade across the stream again. The water reached my knees. He measured off 1,000 and made me wade across again. The water reached my waist. He measured off 1,000. It was now a river which I could not cross. The stream had swollen and was now deep water, a river impossible to cross. He then said, "Do you see, son of man?" He took me further and brought me back to the bank of the river. When I returned, there were many trees on each bank of the river. He said, "This water flows east down to the Araba and to the sea. Flowing into the sea, it makes its water wholesome. Wherever the river flows, all living creatures teeming in it will live. Fish will be very plentiful. For wherever the water goes, it brings health, and life teems wherever the river flows. Along the river on either bank will grow every kind of fruit tree with leaves that never wither and fruit that never fails. There will be a new fruit every month because this water comes from the sanctuary, and their fruit will be good to eat and the leaves medicinal." And now part of the Gospel of John. Sometime after this, there was a Jewish festival, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, at the sheep pool in Jerusalem, there is a building called Bethsatha in Hebrew, consisting of 5 porticos. Under these were crowds of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the water to move. One man there had an illness which had lasted 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew he had been in this condition for a long time, he said, "Do you want to be well again?" "Sir," replied the sick man, "I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is disturbed. While I am still on the way, someone else gets there before me." Jesus said, "Get up, pick up your sleeping mat, and walk." The man was cured at once, and he picked up his mat and walked away. When I was about 9, we were on holiday in a place called Troon on the west coast of Scotland, right by the sea. I remember going out on my own to the coast, to the rocks, and standing there in a fairly disturbed time. The sea was quite rough. I was standing there in my shorts and my sandals and my rather flimsy t-shirt. I was letting the sea crash against the rocks and pour all over me. I remember the water leaping up into the air and falling on top of me. I thought this was great. Looking back, I shudder. I shudder at the thought of what I was doing. I had no conception of how powerful the sea can be, how easily I could have been swept away. It could have just grabbed me and pulled me into the sea like a wild beast. People drown off the coast all the time. I was 9 and rather innocent, and also eager. We think of water as a source of good, but it's also a source of great danger. It's quite clear that the Israelites in their writings are aware of the dangers of water. They think of the sea as a great monster, the Leviathan, the swirly snake-like thing that kills, that threatens them. And they speak in the Psalms of the danger of drowning. "Save me, Lord, the water is raised up to my neck." It's actually possible to drown in the desert. In the dried up riverbeds, there can be sudden floods and people can be killed immediately. Happened a couple of years ago, I think, in Israel. It's happened in parts of Arizona. Sudden floods. Water's dangerous. But of course, water's also a source of life. For the desert people, that's very clear. The least little bit of water under the ground can give growth. It gives life. It gives health. Turns sand into soil, and the soil grows, produces the things that the people live by. water too, for us, is a metaphor for the Spirit. This is water of baptism. It's the water that we drown in, we're immersed in. It's the water that, if we understand it properly, is fearful and demanding. Thomas Aquinas says somewhere that we should always pour water in baptism to represent living water. The water of life should be something that flows. As he says, stagnant water is water which is cut off from its source, whereas the water of life is always in touch with its source. That's why it's a sign, an image of the Holy Spirit. Water itself is good or bad, depending on its power. It's also good and bad depending on whether we are willing to take the risk of plunging into the water. So to think about this gospel. The man's sick, he's sick for 38 years, and Jesus said, do you want to be well? It's an example of a miracle where it's our Lord who initiates the beginning of the conversation. Usually people ask Christ for a cure. He asks this man, do you want to be well? And I wonder if his illness is not as bad as he thinks, if it's perhaps a certain amount of fear, a certain amount of demanding others to carry him. Somebody has to carry him to the water. The rest of the gospel implies that there's certainly more than simply illness here. The finish is, now that day happened to be the Sabbath. The Jews said to the man who had been cured, "'Tis the Sabbath. You're not allowed to carry your sleeping mat." He replied, "But the man who cured me told me, pick up your mat and walk." They asked, "Who is the man who said to you, pick up your mat and walk?" The man had no idea who it was, since Jesus had disappeared into the crowd that filled the place. After a while, Jesus met him in the temple and said, "Now you're well again, be sure not to sin any more. Something worse may happen to you." The sin of fear, the sin of anxiety, the sin of not being willing to plunge into the waters of the Spirit. And we shouldn't fear, we should hope. We should plunge into the waters of the Spirit up to our neck and beyond, because it's living water. It comes from God, but it also returns to God. It's where the Spirit belongs. It's where we are going.